Good morning. Please be seated. We have a slew of announcements. So if you have an announcement, come on up. And while you're on your way, a reminder, there's a foundation meeting this Wednesday at 7, followed by parish council at 7:30. So if that is relevant to you, please put it on your calendars.
I'm first.
Always.
Okay, always.
You got there
yes,
faster.
As John said. I'm here representing the Fun Script table, just outside the door in the Great Hall. It's the time of year when we kind of remind you that it's Christmas time. You've got to buy some gifts. Buy gift cards. Kids have everything today. People appreciate shopping where they want to. Come out and see us. We have them anywhere from $10 to $100. But it's also a great way to do something for charity, because there are people out there on the street who would appreciate maybe a gift card for a meal at McDonald's or Wendy's, or maybe buying something at the dollar store. Get gift cards and hand them out instead of cash. Just a thought. If you don't know what gift cards to buy, see Judy or come to the table. We'll give you an order form. There's 4 pages of gift ideas here for you. So the other part of my announcement is this week and next week are the last weeks to order your Christmas wreath. The orders can be placed at the Fun Script table. Come and see us. Thank you.
Good morning. The first Sunday of Advent is coming up, and is our tradition. We have a meet-in-the-middle brunch between the services. So Sunday, November 30th, come at 9:30, come an hour early. Enjoy a great brunch, and then come on into church. And you can gather with your 8:30 friends, and we'll meet in the middle. Thanks.
And before that, come to games night, November the 21st, from 7 to 9. It's this coming Friday. Don't forget, put it in your calendar. There's going to be snacks, anything to entice. We have board games, we have card games. For those who hate board games, come and play cards. Come and play euchre. Come and play, well, we're not going to try and teach you bridge, but cribbage, for sure. Anyway, please tell a friend, come. We would welcome you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Garambo. I am the artistic director of London Pro Musica Choir that rehearses right here every Monday evening and calls this lovely church our home. We have an important concert coming up on the 29th of November, Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. It's called Textures. Now, a lot of the concerts we do, they're feel-good, juxtaposed with the Mass for All Creatures that we just did, or the Messiah that's coming up on the 15th of December. This one is something different. This one is subtitled Music in the Time of Darkness. And part of that speaks to the time of year, and part of that speaks to the world we find ourselves in. It's not modern music. It's music from 200 years ago and 500 years ago. But what it is, it highlights the power of the voice. There are no instruments in this concert. It is just the human voice. And it reminds us the strength of that voice and the importance of it. So that's the 29th of November at 3 p.m. You can talk to Tim or Lambert or Andrea or Glenna or Ernie for tickets, or you can get them online. Thank you.
But Tim first.
Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God,
to you all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and that we may perfectly love you, and really be edified and obeying you, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. Free us from all that darkens and ensnares us, and bring us to eternal light and joy, through the power of him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose mighty hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, you have made known the victory. You have openly shown your righteousness in the sight of the nation.
Remember your mercy and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen your victory, O God.
Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing.
Sing to the Lord with the harp, with the harp and the voice of song,
with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout with joy before our sovereign, the
with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that it is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. What would you say if I suggested this morning that our gospel is important for evangelism? This part of Jesus' story is one we should share a lot more. What if I told you that Jesus' words this morning are just the kind of message that a great many people in the world are longing to hear? You might say, and Isaiah is right there. Let's skip to that good part. Let's share that good news. And that's fair, because happy, clappy, fun times Jesus does not appear in this morning's gospel. Jesus is full of doom and gloom today. However bad you think things are right now, they can always get worse. It's not exactly the good news that we would like to bring into the world. And yet, I suspect that for many people living in the world today, Jesus' words bring relief. Because they are true. All you have to do is turn on the news to hear about institutions that were carefully, meticulously created over generations that are failing and falling apart. Prominent people calling themselves Christians whose words and actions bear little resemblance to the Jesus we know from Scripture. Wars, earthquakes, famines, and yes, even plagues are part of our daily life. None of us wants to experience these kinds of life-altering events. But the reality is that we do. Jesus was right. He was honest about what the future would bring, and that it would not always be sunshine and roses. And there is comfort. There is stillness that can settle in a person when we hear the unvarnished truth, even if that truth isn't all that pleasant. I'm sure most of you know by now that my son Charlie was pretty sick when he was small. Charlie always received excellent care. But his symptoms seemed to resist a clear diagnosis. Several doctors told us that this was a really good thing. It meant that nothing serious was wrong, and so we didn't need to worry. But I know there are parents and grandparents here today who know what I knew, that trying to tell a mom whose kid's primary extracurricular is visiting the ER, that basically everything's fine, is a fool's errand. And their words landed like a lead balloon. Eventually, an ENT did figure out that Charlie had a collection of minor problems that all came together to create what he acknowledged was a pretty serious situation. And I cannot express the peace, the relief that I felt when that doctor was able to explain what we were living. There was no magic cure. We still had to wait for Charlie to grow out of it. But we had clarity. We understood what was going on. We had wanted that good news the other doctors had offered. We had wanted it to be true. But it just wasn't. Instead, the healing came in hearing and accepting the truth of the situation. We are coming to the end of the season of Pentecost. Next week is the last Sunday before Advent. Really early in Pentecost, we hear a reading where Jesus sets his face towards Jerusalem. And ever since then, our gospel readings have come from this journey. We have joined Jesus and his disciples along the way. Pentecost is the season where we ask ourselves, how are we going to live together? How are we going to show up in the world as the church when we know what awaits Jesus in Jerusalem? Who are we going to be when we know that we are walking towards the cross and the resurrection? Today we arrive. Jesus is in the temple. And even here, Jesus chooses to speak the unpopular, unvarnished, uncomfortable truth when it would have been a lot easier to just stay silent. And so this morning, I am wondering, how might people react if we tried to do the same? We live in a time when it is getting harder and harder to tell fact from fiction, when people have become skeptical of anyone claiming authority, when we are all on guard for misinformation and disinformation, because we have learned the hard way that people in authority can be wrong. And even worse, sometimes people in authority lie. So it seems to me that there is a great power, that there is a great opportunity in sharing God's love by simply showing up in the world and speaking the truth. No, it's not your imagination. People are broken. We're trying to get better at loving one another, but we're not perfect either. It's true. You can work hard your whole life and never get ahead. We're trying to change that, but it's going to take a while. No, being baptized will not solve all your problems or fill your bank account with money. It will give you a community who will try to support you and ask for your support in return. I wonder what might happen, what God might do if we had the courage to speak the truth. Jesus warns us that there will likely be a cost, and there certainly was for him. And there is great good, great comfort, great healing in knowing that Jesus continues to journey with us through the good times and the bad. Amen. Please stand and let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
he said to the dead, on the third day he rose again. He is
Please assume a posture of prayer.
For our response, shout with joy to the Lord. We lift our voices to rejoice in you. Bountiful Lord, we lift our voices to rejoice and sing of your praises. Hear our prayer for all who testify to your name in the face of persecution and threats of violence. Keep your church from alarm that sends it astray. Shout with joy to the Lord. We lift our voices to rejoice in you. Bountiful Lord, forgive the sins that set nation against nation, brothers and sisters against their family, and displaced people to famine and disease. With righteousness and equity, bring your peace to reign. Shout with joy to the Lord. We lift our voices to rejoice in you. Bountiful Lord, you bless us with gifts of music. Teach us to sing a new song of salvation and hope in your Son. May the river of your life flow to refresh the land. Shout with joy to the Lord.
We lift our voices to rejoice in you.
Bountiful Lord, your compassion touches all who suffer from disease and natural disasters. Hear our prayer for all whom we carry on our hearts into your presence. Son of all righteousness, bring your healing touch to all who call upon your name. We pray especially for Scott, Brian, Gail, Jovia, Andrew, Ian, John, Christine, Charles, Rose, Michelle, Carolyn, Terry, Charles, Cheryl, Rose, Susan, Bill, Mary, Weller family, Ruth, and Reginald. Shout with joy to the Lord.
We lift our voices to rejoice in you.
Bountiful Lord, you hold all souls in life. We give you thanks for those whose faith has endured through many trials and tribulations. Give rest to your faithful ones, that they may rise in your glory. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to the table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. Holy God, in this Eucharist we renew our baptismal covenant. Help us, through our offering this day, to renounce all things that draw us from your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image. Wonderfully, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will reign.
Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ and in Christ and with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us stand and continue in prayer. Gracious God, in this sacrament, we have shared the body and blood of Christ. May we who have been nourished by holy things bear witness to his light and share in his eternal priesthood, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always.
Amen.
My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.